Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
Here. There are two ways to get a hold of us here at Wretched Radio. You can beep talk 1-877-282-BEEP or send an email to idea@wretched.org. But before we get to your emails, that's right, some good news. Actually, several pieces of good news. Johnny Erickson Tata announcing she's cancer-free. Praise God for that. That woman... what a warrior. I suspect Johnny Erickson Tata has a greater capacity to appreciate the love of God than most of us. And I expect that God has so fitted her for heaven that she will be one of the bright lights that is able to appreciate God more than many of us, even in heaven. Paralyzed for the last 50 years?
50 years.
John MacArthur has been in ministry for 50 years. In the meantime, Johnny Erickson Tata has been in a wheelchair for 50 years. And she's been doing great ministry. Johnny Erickson Tata shared good news. She's cancer-free after being diagnosed with breast cancer for the second time. That was in November. She and her husband were prepared to gladly take whatever from the hand of God, even if it were from his left hand. Nice work with the subjunctive. But the Lord was gracious and heard the desire of our hearts. The PET scan shows that my second tumor that was removed last November did not metastasize. Given the aggressive nature of that reoccurring cancer, this news is wonderful, is what it is. So praise God. Johnny Erickson Tata doing well. Chances are pretty good you prayed for her. Hope you did. Second piece of good news. Okay, maybe not like really, 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 really good for a long period of time, but the Anglican Church in Canada actually voted to stay the biblical line, and that marriage is between a man and a woman, that there are only two genders. And so the Anglican Church Canada... do they go by a name like the Episcopalians? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Whatever it is, the Anglican Church in Canada, they are indeed at least rejecting same-sex marriage in a vote that did not pass the General Assembly in Vancouver. The church rules require motions to be passed by a two-thirds majority from its three groups of delegates. They have the laity, the clergy, the bishops. On Friday, the requirement of the motion did not meet the threshold among the bishops. It did pass, though, with the lay voters and members of the clergy were more than two-thirds in redefining marriage. But the bishops held on, tick, 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 like sand through an hourglass. It's probably just a matter of time. Nevertheless, you take the good news when you can get it. Another piece of good news... the Reformation Wall in Geneva was vandalized. That's right. Good news. This is a magnificent statue. It is in Geneva. That's what you just said, Todd. Well, I was gonna say Zurich because that's where Zwingli's home is. But in Geneva, the HQ of John Calvin, Farel, the great reformers, beautiful statues. It was inaugurated in 1909. Not only is this good news, this is a miracle. How it was defaced. Somehow, paint fell from the sky to remind us that God will not judge the world again with water. That is phenomenal. What a miracle that was, that somehow the paint that got thrown at it or fell from the sky actually was the form of a rainbow. Isn't that good? What's the good news? And what's the response? We'll clean it up. We don't hurt people. We don't yell at people. We don't beat them up. We're Christians. We turn the other cheek. There have been a number of vandalic acts. Wow, I didn't know that was a word. Against the Protestant monument in the past, according to La Matine. In March, feminist activists wrote a graffiti on the wall reading, "Where are the women?" Well, there were wives of reformers, but back then there were just male reformers. You know history, how that is. One more piece of good news. From the Gospel Coalition, an apology to some evangelicals. This one is all the buzz on the internet. Tabidianya Bwile, who is from the Gospel Coalition, pastors a church. He used to be with Nine Marks Ministries at Capitol Hill Baptist Church with Mark Dever, pastoring his own church. Anaconda Baptist, I think is what it's called. They adhere to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. He has been one of the individuals on the more extreme end of the social justice movement, on the progressive side. And he's written much, he's spoken much, and he's caused much controversy, and he's writing an apology to some evangelicals. As best I can understand it, he apologized for fear, unrighteous anger, hopelessness, uncharitable thoughts, speaking foolishly and without facts, and speaking harshly. There are some people who are dissecting it, and they are saying critical things. I have nothing critical to say about it. Man apologized. I will confess to you as an aside, I didn't quite understand it. I'm not stating that negative. I just didn't quite get it. It was more of an apology, it seems to me, about heart issues than it was positional issues. Nevertheless, isn't it good news anyway? Shouldn't we take this and go, okay, Tabidi, you didn't sin against me in this regard. I don't think your apology applies to me, but great. And if this is a statement that we can come away from stating, it looks like perhaps now we can have some conversations without some of those emotions involved, then great. Let's have them and let's see if there is a way forward. So while there are some who are critical of it, I don't think that that's how we're supposed to respond when a professing believer apologizes. Even when, in my case, I didn't quite understand it, you accept it. This applies in our homes, doesn't it? Somebody sins against you, and this time you know what the sin is, and they don't apologize the way that you think that you should. Do you accept it? I think the answer is yes. They don't repent with as much intensity or with as much sorrow as you would like. Do you accept it? I think the answer to that is yes, you do. You're at that point, your job is not to stir up their contrite heart. That's God's job. But if they say, "I'm sorry," I think it is incumbent upon us to say, "And you're forgiven." We talk about that with Dr. John Street, by the way, in a resource available at wretched.org. It is called Conflict. It is how to reconcile, biblically reconcile relationships so that they are better on the other end of it than they were when you went into the conflict. It's an outstanding resource. It really is. It's at wretched.org. Let's accept it, and let's hope now perhaps we can have some conversations that are productive and that don't have the emotions that Tabidi is professing that he was guilty of carrying. Apology accepted. Right? I think it's good news. Let's get to the mailbag show. Hold it. This could be more good news. Look out. We've got a theme going on here at Wretched. I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to endure much Todd? More of this good news. Yeah.
Todd, is that really you? Have you been replaced? Are you under duress? Blink
when
twice.
Is your oldest daughter's birthday? I think it's an alien.
I wish that the porcupine were dancing on the Vatican so that the world would have peace. Was that the code language that we agreed that we'd use in case well, that no, there
actually,
was a terrorist
we were going
at the
with
door?
Something like the eagle has landed since.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine. Yeah. This is just beautiful. Yeah, this is sad and beautiful is what it is. And convictional, really. This is many emotions wound into one. This is actually from our Wretched Facebook page. And by the way, for those people who wonder why we don't allow comments on YouTube, it's because it gets really quite unproductive. on YouTube. It's much better on Facebook. We'd have to spend our days monitoring YouTube and the things that get written. But we do allow it on Facebook. It just tends to be better. And this, honestly, it just doesn't get any better than this. Lisa, I wanted you to know how much you meant to my husband and his true conversion. He passed away 3.5 months ago during a short hospital stay and was evangelizing on his deathbed until he could no longer speak. Don't wait for your deathbed to evangelize. We requested donations in his memory to Bible League International, and I believe $420 was given. When his sister suggested he would get to see his brother at his passing, he said, "I just want to see Jesus." Lisa, very, very sorry for your loss. Lisa, very, very grateful for your husband's testimony, his faithfulness, and his courage. May we all take his lead and evangelize up until our dying breath. This is Wretched Radio. Please, would you please consider sending as many Bibles as you can through Bible League International to the persecuted church?
Aria was raised in a strict Muslim family. A woman invited her to a Bible study. She accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. She took her Arabic New Testament home. She hid it. Her mother was rummaging through the house, found this, gave it to her father. He called the authorities to report her as an infidel. They tortured her, did the same thing to the Christian friend. These two women have been instrumental through their suffering to lead about 50 people to Christ.
And they would love a Bible. Would you please consider sending as many as you are able to through Bible League International, $5 for a Bible to a persecuted Christian. Perhaps 6 per month? Wretched.org/Bible, Wretched.org/Bible.
Thank you for joining us today. We are always glad when you choose to spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. Wondering if you have your copy of Are You a Rotten Fish? Our latest evangelistic booklet at the Wretched Store. Jesus was relentless about the subject of true and false conversions. He told parables about it. The wheat and the tares, the wise and foolish virgins, the good fish and the rotten fish. And if you study church backslider rates, it is very clear that his concerns were more than warranted. Christianity is littered with, well, tares, foolish virgins, rotten fish. So you should head to wretched.org/fish for your copy of Are You a Rotten Fish? If you would like to know more about true and false conversions, get your copy of Are You a Rotten Fish today at wretched.org/fish. And thanks to our gospel partners for making all of our great resources possible. Wretched.org/fish. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
If you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsene, just 5 years old, escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother could not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother sadly passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandmother used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is administration. The spiritual ability to guide, govern, manage, and correct. Church leaders are charged with keeping the church on the biblical path. As God has given that charge, He has also provided the gifts which enable us to fulfill that charge.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Idea@wretched.org. Idea@wretched.org. If you would like to express, well, pretty much anything, this is Wretched Radio. Pretty much. You can express anything you want to. Doesn't mean that we'll repeat it, but you can pretty much share anything you would like to. Idea@wretched.org. This is from a fella. I'll just leave it at that. Todd, would you speak to why we, as monogamous Christian men, married men, are so psychologically, yes, spiritually connected to our wives by physical intimacy? All right, I'm going to stop there because he asks a really important question. Is that true, what he just said, that that act does that? And the answer to that is yes. And that can be answered from millions of people experientially. It does that. It is a profound act. Furthermore, the Bible tells us it is. When, for instance, in 1 Corinthians, it says no other sin. When you do this act outside of marriage, no other sin so affects the body. Why? Because we don't get mystical on this, but there is a profound thing that happens inside of you, not just the feeling aspect, but there is something profound that connects you to another. It is a one flesh sort of connection. So it is profound. Now, he goes on to ask, why am I so distressed, bound up in bitterness, even find myself lacking confidence in this world when my wife and I have been essentially celibate for a time? Yet, become so much more positive, clear-minded, and hopeful when we have been intimate regularly. Why so spiritually affected? More apt to believe God's promises than when we are together than when we are not in this manner. I think there's every reason to say, yeah, that's right. Because intimacy is really the external sign of what's going on internally in a relationship. I mean, besides the intimate aspect that we just discussed, it is that. But it's also a marker of how you are doing together. The marriage bed is a demonstration of what's happening in the other rooms in the house. And gentlemen, might I just suggest to you that if your physical intimacy is not what you want it to be, it's because your spiritual intimacy isn't where it should be. They're connected. They go hand in hand. You are made for this type of relationship. And don't forget intimacy too. It is indeed a picture of the relationship that we have with our God, that it is not sexual, it is not physical in that way, but it is a way for us to experience, wow, this is how amazing it will be to be in heaven with our God in a relationship with him face to face. This is just a foreshadowing, a foretaste of that. And so it's profound in every regard, and we were made for it. Go back to Genesis. We are made to be in this union together, and we are told immediately what? To procreate together, be intimate together. All of these things are bound up, and so when there's problems in the living room, it's going to show up in the bedroom. And I might actually suggest to you that maybe your explanation for things get better when we're being intimate, I would suggest to you maybe things are better and therefore you are intimate. That's a possibility that you could explore. Because sex should pull you up, sir. It should pull all of us up. Instead of finding an outlet elsewhere with looking, fantasizing, images on the internet, or even straying from your vow, instead of that, pour it all into the one God has given to you, because it represents your relationship as a picture of the gospel. Pour all of your energies into her. And guess what? You will experience more frequency. Why? Because you are behaving toward her the way that she wants you to behave and the way that we're supposed to. And you're becoming more spiritually intimate, and it will reflect itself in physical intimacy. I'm kind of thinking there's a cart before the horse issue going on here. Your relationship with your spouse won't get better if you just are intimate together. Your being together is a reflection that your relationship is good. Work on that, and I think the physical part tends to follow. idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. This is from Jonathan. Todd, I was reading 2 Chronicles chapter 13 this morning in my 27 hours of quiet time. Well, step it up, Jonathan, for the rest of us who are at 32 hours of daily quiet time. Came across verse 11. People in the northern kingdom were allowed to become priests. Remember, this is a big deal. What's going on in the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom? What is the sin of Jeroboam? It's that you were building idols in the high places, that you were building little worship centers, not poles, in Jerusalem. Right? Jeroboam? Yeah, it was Jeroboam.
Was that the Asherah poles?
Yeah, all of it, where you had worships. Well, no, those were a little bit different. He would set up altars in the northern kingdom that people could go worship, not in Jerusalem, the one place where you could be intercessing with God, your one way to be connected with God. In other words, it was a picture of the gospel and Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, he would build altars in high places so that people could go, they could just avoid going to Jerusalem so that they would stay in the northern kingdom. And you also had the Asherah poles, which was just pagan worship. And you had what? Simony, or simony if you prefer, the selling of an office. We see this in the book of Acts, but that was what was going on, rightly pointed out. And Jonathan, who only spends 27 hours a day of quiet time, chapter 13, and verse 11, they were allowed to become priests by bringing the consecration payment of a young bull and 7 rams. Jonathan writes, nothing new under the sun. If you'd like to become a prophet or an apostle, just bring the right payment and you become one. It's interesting to me that office even exists. And we see that even throughout church history. Forget about in Chronicles, forget about in Acts. What about church history? Simony was going on a lot in the Roman Catholic Church. The buying of offices, not just the papacy, but many offices. To me, it's a sign of the unregenerated. Why you want to buy an office? That just reeks of pride. I want to be recognized as an apostle, so I'm going to buy it? Yeeks. Nothing new under the sun in Indeed. This from, I hope I say this right, Rahsaan, R-A-H-S-A-A-N. By the way, a shout out to all of the brothers and sisters that we're hearing from in places I just would not have imagined. India, South Africa. Love hearing from you. Love being in the kingdom with you. Can't wait to see you in heaven. Is it unbiblical for a husband and wife to have separate bank accounts? That's an interesting question, isn't it? And I think the answer
to
that is...
Hang on, let me get my popcorn.
You've got to watch this show, do you?
Oh, this could be good.
All right, in order to say that's a sin, you really should have an explicit verse from the Bible. Now, I don't think you have one. Do you have implicit verses? Sure. I think going back to Genesis again, this is a one-flesh union. Two become one. It's not my stuff, your stuff, his stuff, her stuff. It's our stuff, period. So, yes, I think you've got an implicit verse, and that is why I lean toward this. But I also would suggest there's some wisdom in using this issue as a barometer to determine if you are marrying the right person. I really do. And here's why. If you do not believe, whichever one of you has more to lose, whichever one of you happens to be making more money, whichever one of you has the bigger inheritance, whatever it is, if you're afraid to have a joint bank account because he or she might spend it wrong or utilize it or even steal it, then I think you've got other issues that need to be addressed and worked on. Because if there isn't that level of trust, that maybe isn't the right person. Now, maybe it's just an issue, it's a hurdle that needs to be jumped over. But if you do not so trust the person that you are willing to say, we are going to be one flesh together, we are going to be intimate together, what I have is yours, what you have is mine, we no longer put tape and little, what were the names of those little gun things that they used to, Rolex.
Label makers?
No, they used to be the little labels that, you know.
Dymo?
Dymo guns.
Oh, the Dymo, yeah.
Right? And you don't do that anymore. It's because I trust you that much. And if you don't have that level of trust, I would suggest you work through it. Let this issue not be the thing that necessarily disqualifies one another from marriage consideration, but something that you work through. And I would suggest to you also, it will help you before getting married. Because if you enter into the marriage like, well, I'm still going to kind of keep guard on my stuff. I don't trust him or her with all of my things, that's going to show up in other areas. And it's going to be more like a mindset, subtle as it might be, that we'll kind of see how this thing works out. But I've got safeguards up. Your safeguards should be gone when you say, I do. So would I say that it's unbiblical to have separate accounts? No. Would I argue that the Bible leans toward you should? Yes. Would I say that it is wise to work through this issue before you get married? Oh, absolutely. Marriage is hard. Get these things worked through in advance. Dr. John Street's going to be in town in a few weeks. He's doing a marriage seminar. We're going to it. We've been married for almost 29 years.
Honest, we're all amazed still.
Stop learning how to stay married. This is Wretched Radio.
Books of the Bible. First and Second Chronicles traces God's unfolding plan from Adam through the Babylonian captivity. When you wonder what God is doing in the world, Chronicles shows us this pattern. He is calling a people to himself, placing them under the rule of his king, and preparing them for worship. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's talk about what we shouldn't be talking about.
Oh?
Eh? This is Wretched Radio. If you haven't heard, we are not breaking this story. He has broken it himself. Josh Harris, who once kissed dating goodbye, then decided to start kissing dating again. Long story. Nevertheless, he announced that he is separating from his wife. What do I, what do you, what do we have to say about that? And I think the only response to that is, that's just sad. I hope they get it worked out. I know they've got children. I hope that the marriage can be reconciled. God has the power to do that. I don't know what brought it on. I have none of my business, certainly. I can't, well, he said this once in a video. Well, in his book, he wrote that, and apparently he's, none of that. I don't know. I don't know him. I don't go to his church. He hasn't written anything about it. I don't think that we have anything to speculate about without it being, frankly, gossip and probably on the malicious side. I think the only thing that we can do is say that's a big bummer and pray for him. Marriage is always bad. I don't care who it is. Marriage just is rotten. When I even see pagans getting divorced, it's like, oh, that's not good. Marriage is such a good thing for our culture. Now, they don't paint the picture correctly because it's a picture of the gospel, the church, and Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, it's so good for culture. It's just a shame that it's so degraded these days, isn't it? Idea@wretched.org. Idea@wretched.org. Let's get to the mailbag, shall we? This is from Stephanie. Do you consider continuationists to be heretics? I'm unclear if that is considered a doctrine or primary importance. Let me just answer both of those separately to be very clear. Is continuationism, in other words, that God is somehow communicating information outside of the Bible? Now, I don't mean creation or natural revelation. I'm talking about that he somehow will give a sign, he will give a feeling, he will speak to somebody, really, God told me type of thing. And the answer to that is I do not believe that God does not still speak. He speaks through his word. He can speak through people who are wise because they've been informed by the Bible and they can give us biblical wisdom, but that's not revelatory. Do I believe somebody who disagrees with that is a heretic? No. No, I don't. I disagree, to be certain. I disagree. But that issue alone, on the face of it, alone does not make an individual a heretic. We can still have fellowship with one another. Right? Now, I'm unclear if that is considered a doctrine of primary importance. That's a great question. I believe, personally, it's fraught with peril. And very bad things can come from it. But again, on the face of it, no, it's not. Now, could it be? And the answer to that is yes. But that's true of many doctrines, isn't it? Secondary doctrines are indeed that secondary. They're not cardinal. They're not essential. So if we disagree on an issue like speaking in tongues, You're square on the essentials. You've repented and put your trust in Jesus. I have. We're going to heaven. Okay? Now, we disagree. Now, could it become an essential? Could it become a cardinal? Sure, it could. Where you have some sort of perspective on it that makes it an essential. Like, for instance, when somebody says, you must speak in tongues in order to be saved. Uh-oh, well, now we got a different ballgame going on. If somebody says, oh, no, you must believe that God is still speaking, and he's got to be speaking to you or you're not a Christian. Time out. Now we've got, now it's a different level. But on the face of it, I've never been subtle about this. I'm a cessationist, and I will defend that very lovingly. Wasn't really the first word that jumped to mind for me. I will defend it lovingly, but I will defend it passionately because I believe it, because I believe in the sufficiency of the Bible. And if we do believe in the sufficiency of the Bible, then we don't need any other communication from God. We've got everything we need. Nevertheless, I don't hate you. I hope you don't hate me. We're not like enemies on this, are we? Idea@wretched.org. Idea@wretched.org from Cindy. How do you know when to cut your losses and end the evangelistic conversation? That's a good problem to have. I'll be honest with you, because most of us need to evangelize more. But when do you know to put it to an end? Here's the scenario. I shared with a 90-year-old Jewish couple who wanted to talk about what they heard in a Bible study that I teach in an assisted living home. Good on you. I think that's a wonderful place to go. I think if you can round up, Christians in nursing homes will come to those things. But boy, if you can get out there and, hey, you want to come down the hall and join them? Hey, it can be very evangelistic. I realize that this could sound a little on the glib side because I'm not in one, and I get how difficult it must be to live in a nursing home, but there is now a part of me that actually looks forward to it if that's where God has me end my life. My wife helped me with this. We were talking about the challenges that must exist for believers in nursing homes. Maybe you don't get many visits. You're not surrounded by familiarity. You have a couple of trinkets, perhaps, but it's not home. Food gets prepared for you. You can't make the things that you've been making, perhaps, for decades and enjoying. It's got to be challenging, and that is why I'm telling you, if you're a church and you got a nursing home or assisted care facility, whatever the—I don't know the terminology these days— get a ministry going inside of it. You will minister to those saints, and I promise you with a money-back guarantee, they will witness and minister to you. It is inevitable. You go into a nursing home, and it has been perhaps a difficult day. It's difficult to get there. The air conditioning in the facility is broken, and you're carping. You spend an hour with those saints, those dear saints in nursing homes. You're going to walk out changed, and you will be grateful to be in the kingdom of God. You will be so glad you went. Furthermore, it can be evangelistic. It is an opportunity to witness to other people and spend time. There are people they never get visited by anybody, ever. Can you imagine ending your days with family dispersed? Maybe, just maybe, Mrs. Friel's encouragement to me might be an encouragement to you if you're in that situation. What changed me from thinking, oh, I'm not excited about having to go to a nursing home, to, you know, you kind of have a captive audience when it comes to evangelism. You've got people that you can still witness to. There are people that you can still pray for. And I went, you know what? While it might not be the ideal scenario that I would prefer, you don't have to stop doing ministry for the Lord even in a nursing home. Get on it. Get to work. I will speak to my dearly beloved elder saints. Don't quit. Witness to the staff. What are they going to do? They might be annoyed with you. Witness to them. Witness to the form relationships with people and teach. It's not too late for anybody to get saved, and it's not too late for you to be doing work for the kingdom. So So keep it up. If you're there, and if you're a church that's near there, then get on it. Now, Cindy was doing her Bible study inside of a nursing home to a Jewish couple who wanted to talk about, she was talking to them following up on her Bible study. I asked questions, discovered they were atheists, couldn't imagine why anyone would believe in God. I reasoned with them for about 30 minutes, and even though they want to talk again another time, they're not open, I can tell, and quite firm in their beliefs. When do you cut your loss? And the answer is, I don't know. It's pretty much the answer. It really depends. And while we don't operate on feelings, mostly, quite honestly, I think it just kind of comes down to that. There have been times when I've witnessed to somebody for just you could tell they were hard-hearted, but for some reason it's just I'm just going to keep going, 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 go. Stay in it. Stay in the relationship. Keep going. Other times it's like, nah. Now, what's the difference? I can't tell you. There's no clear-cut rules to this, but here are some principles, some ideas. We never know. You just don't. So, Cindy, I would say you maybe think that they aren't, but they did go to a Bible study. Maybe out of boredom. Maybe not. They talked to you for 30 minutes, didn't seem interested, but they want to talk to you again, so maybe. We don't know. We're not Gnostics. We don't know for sure. If they argue and it's just, if you can tell it's like, I can understand you cutting your losses. But if it's at least polite, they show some sort of sign. If it's hostile, if they start like getting aggressive, I think that's when you are throwing pearls before a swine and it's time to vamoose. You don't need to stick around to get hurt. But if they're willing to listen, keep going and use your best judgment with the correct heart, doing the best that you can, because how many stories have we heard of people getting saved because somebody persisted? So use your best judgment. I can't give you any better rule than that. But I will say this, Cindy. Let me encourage you to just keep it up. Keep going to that nursing home. Stay in the fight with those people. And wouldn't it be sweet if some year, not that there's going to be a calendar in heaven, but if some year we're all in heaven and it's like, wait a second, that's the Jewish couple that Cindy was with. They got saved! Wouldn't that be cool? This is Wretched Radio. My special guest today is Dr. John MacArthur. Sir, what is the issue with the Masters Academy International?
The issue with TMAI is very simple. Biblical training. Training men to be the kinds of pastors that are defined and described in the New Testament.
Fascinating, sir, but there are so many ministries who encourage us to do acts of charity internationally.
I mean, it's fine to support philanthropy or some feeding of poor people or caring for children that have needs. But at the end of the day, the impact on a nation has to come from the pastors and leaders. So investing in that is making the maximum investment for the maximum impact.
Thank you, Dr. MacArthur. We're all out of time, or I'd love to ask you more questions. If you would like to support the mission of the Masters Academy International, training indigenous pastors to be biblical expositors, changing nations, you can do that at wretched.org/pastor.
You guys are seriously on a roll. So far, you've given away over 400,000 copies of What Time is Purple. That is amazing. Well done. But we're not finished yet, my evangelism friend. Our mission is to distribute 1 million copies of What Time is Purple to people everywhere. What Time is Purple is perfect for your atheist or agnostic friends who may have been persuaded by evolution, or for college students you know who are leaving home, or for anyone who doubts that the Bible is true. If you'd like to give away your own copies of What Time is Purple, or you're a ministry wanting to give away a whole ton of copies, visit wretched.org/purple today. That's where you can order up to 20 copies of What Time is Purple, or order 5,000 copies. It doesn't get any easier than that. Visit wretched.org/purple, and let's get to that 1 million people mark. Wretched.org/purple.
Ultrasound machines save lives. Don't believe me? Then believe Dan Steiner of preborn.org.
That young woman come in, 18, with a boyfriend. He's pushing her to abort, took him back into the ultrasound room. There's two hearts. It's twins. The father looks at that, this 19-year-old guy. He goes, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to kill those two babies.
Ultrasounds work. When a mommy, a daddy sees a picture of their baby in the womb, 80% of the time they choose life. It is $28 per ultrasound. May I ask, how many ultrasounds could you provide? $28 per month. Please note, whilst Preborn is busy trying to save the lives of babies, they're trying to save the souls of mommies and daddies by preaching the gospel. Please consider supporting Preborn at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 432 AD. After escaping years of slavery in Ireland as a young man, Patrick, a British Christian, returns to Ireland as a missionary. His work results in multitudes of Irish people coming to the Christian faith. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Absolutely no skills. Not only can I not hit the garbage can with a crinkled up piece of paper, I can't even crinkle up the paper, right?
You just have no marketable skills.
Marketable? What did I say?
You just have no skills. You have skills, they're just not, you know.
Marketable.
Yeah.
Okay, then, Barnabas, encourage me. What skills do I have? I'm all ears.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
1-877-282-BEEP. You work on that. We'll talk next week. 1-877-282-BEEP. That is the number of the old toll-free. Please remember, if you decide to call, ixnay on the airing sway and try to keep it pithy. It allows Joey to nap more. Beep, beep, beep,
beep. Hi, Todd. I just wanted to call and say that you are really rocking that beard. Good job, sir. God bless.
You can grow a beard.
Wow.
Sorry.
Tony, I'm practically verklempt with the encouragement. Don't worry, it'll be going away soon. To those of you who are less than excited about it, I was just kind of hoping might make me look smarter than I actually is.
Hey, I listen to your show all the time. I'm 22, and I thought you might get a kick out of this because I was thinking about when I was in middle school youth group, and my parents hated a lot of the quote-unquote worship songs that we sang, but one I was absolutely not allowed to sing at the house. My parents could not believe that the youth pastor was having us sing this song in a worship setting.
Okay, gentlemen, Joey, you can't because you've heard this. Tony, okay, now she's 22, back in youth group, so it's got to be about 4 or 5 years ago. What was the hot thing back then?
Well, middle school would have been 10 years ago.
Oh, boy, that's, okay, 10 years ago.
What do you have for breakfast?
I can't remember. Tuesday.
10 years ago, so something by Toby Mac. That's what I'm saying.
No? Toby Mac would have been gone by then.
He's still around. Are you kidding me?
I know he is.
Well, We'll let that one go for the moment. All right, I'm going with Toby Mac because I can't think of anybody else. You got anything?
No, I got nothing.
Something by Avalon. I don't know. That's just kidding. I just saw an old poster of theirs on the wall. I don't know. Point of Grace?
DeGarmo and Key?
Older.
What was the name? There was. I saw a concert once, a Christian concert. It was the Big Voice Tour. It was Brian Duncan, and he does have a big voice. That dude, I don't know if he's still got his chops, but wow, could he wail. And what was the name of the group? I think that two of them were married. It was two women and a man. And wow, they could sing too. And then it was Crystal Lewis was the other one. You know, Crystal Lewis actually had some decent worship music.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, at least it was talking about Jesus and not about my woes and how much I'm loved and how depressed I am. All right, so you say it's Avalon, I say it's Toby Mac. Let's find out together.
like this. I think I got a pee-pee. I think I got a pee-pee. I think I got a pee-pee-pee-pee-pee. Praise the Lord. And then it would say, I think I got a throw-up. Bleh.
Uh-huh.
Throw up my hands and praise the Lord.
Yep.
And then it would say, I think I got a doo-doo. Do things for the Lord. So glad that we're in a different church now. I
think I'm gonna throw up.
That's it.
I think I'm gonna throw up. I think I'm gonna throw up. My hands to the Lord.
That's a thing?
Well, hey, Sir Todd. When I'm witnessing to an unbeliever and he asks, if God is so good, why is there so much evil in the world? I respond with, well, if God were to wipe out all the evil on the planet, do you think he'd still be here?
Oh, good.
And also, if an unbeliever asks, if there is a God and he is so loving, why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? Then ask the unbeliever, have you ever caused anyone any pain or suffering? What should God do with you? And you're off and running.
I was actually saved into the Pentecostal movement back in the late 90s, and I guess I was part of a New Apostolic Reformation school before the New Apostolic Reformation was cool, because we had healing ceremonies where they would push you over, and people would be delivered, and I would ask them how they're doing after their deliverance, and they'd be like, I'm okay. There'd be laughter in the spirit, and mass weeping in the spirit, and lots of prophets that would be basically Christian fortune tellers that would tell student missionary families that they were going to have money pouring into their lives. And I remember my then fiance and I were looking at each other like, why are we not feeling any of this? It was like the wave was just going right over us, and we never really experienced those things. Through all of that, God still was faithful, and he allowed us to go through that to see what the NAR is and come back and still believe the Bible and love Jesus. And now we're part of the Evangelical Free.
Outstanding. Lots of people do indeed get pulled out of that. Feelings are an interesting thing, aren't they? Received a letter, an actual letter in the mail, and it actually arrived. Salute to the USPS. It was from a Lutheran in Minnesota. Tony?
We have a few.
Did you send an... No, you got a lot of Lutherans in Minnesota. Did you maybe... Was this you just pretending to be a different Lutheran in Minnesota?
Depends. What does it say?
It was asking about repentance and what repentance looks like, because this fellow had heard that repentance is typically accompanied by an emotional outpouring of contrition and perhaps tears, throwing dust onto your animal. Okay, well, that was Nineveh.
Different thing altogether.
A different culture where you were so disgusted with your sin. That was an outward expression, was taking the dirt and just throwing it on your animal. I hate my sin that much. Is that required? And the answer is not necessarily. Everybody's different emotionally. If you happen to be a Lutheran in Minnesota, you barely have emotions. Let's just be honest about it. You joke about it, so I can say it. You joke about it. You kill it with the potlucks. I got to tell you that much. But the emotional stuff, you might be one of those people who just isn't that way. I can understand you not having that sort of a moving, sort of blubbering sort of experience. Having said that, there should be some sort of an emotional response to the good news that you have been saved from sin and wrath and damnation and being ground to powder by God himself, that it he died for me. I deserve that. And he took that for me anyway. I don't know how that can't cause something to happen in our human heart. And your response might be different than mine. You might express it a little bit differently, but there should be something there. Remember, repentance, when somebody is going in one direction, they're a child of the devil. Now they're a child of God. It is a change of will. I used to want these things. Now I want those things. It is a change of knowledge, most certainly. So you've got a mind change, you've got a will change, but you've also got an emotion change. And if those emotions have never changed, or you never express those emotions in any way, I'm not saying it's definitive, you're not saved, but you might just want to do a little searching. Okay, I'm going to make a confession. Mm-hmm. Well, you want to know what song from 10, 15 years ago? If I happen to hear it, and I don't, it never caught on big for some reason. It was never a shout to the Lord kind of song. But if I hear it, And the lyrics, they aren't profound, they are repetitive. Yes, I am confessing to being moved by a repetitive song. It was, you are the only one I need. You are the only one I see. You guys are looking at me like I've got three heads.
No,
over
I
here.
Know it. It's
you are the
so
only
long.
One I need. I bow all of me alone. At your feet. I worship you alone. You have
given me all that I could ever have wanted.
Okay, and then the bridge is like okay, kind of.
Oh, the I'm alive.
Yeah, like, whatever
alive,
that
I'm
is.
I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive.
Yeah, that's that part thing. I just kind of whatever. But for some reason, that just caused... Okay, there's another one. What was... Joey, what was the name of the song that was that people loved to have? This was about 10 years ago, too, that they loved to have at their funeral. Death is not death. Death is...
It is not death to die?
That's the one right there. That one makes me verklempt. Do you have any songs that make you kind of misty? I don't care what it is. Something that causes you... I get it. Your romantic sort of... buzz feeling that you had when you first got married, it's changed. It's been replaced by other things, and I think the same thing is true when we get saved. And a lot of people get confused about this. They think they're not saved today because they don't feel the same way they did 10 years, 20 years, 30 years ago. Well, of course you don't. That's just not the way our emotions work. It should be a deeper, more profound love, just like in marriage. That kind of that heady, you're all giddy about everything. It's gone. Well, that can be gone to some degree, too, in your relationship with God because of time, replaced by a different type of love. But having said that, there should be a sermon or occasions or a memory when you think back to your first love and first getting saved, or a song, something that causes you to just be moved to some degree. How you express that, that's up to you. You're Italian, you express it with your hands. You're Lutheran. How do Lutherans they stand up
still
for the singing of a hymn instead of
still
sitting down?
They
put extra carrot shreds into the lime jello that they made. There
That'll
you have
work.
It right there. Don't rely on emotions. Don't rely on feelings. Rely on Jesus. But there should be some emotions and feelings toward him, all right? Until tomorrow, go serve your king.